All right. Hello, everybody. This is Andrew Elsner, and you're listening to my next chapter, chapter number three on As the Story Grows. Hi.
It came out weirder than I thought it was going to.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man being realistic.
As the story grows.
You got this, Travis. Make them wait for it. Boom.
Welcome back to the next chapter, Andrew's next chapter of As the Story Grows. My name's Trav. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
What's going on, man? Hanging out at the house. About to have some tea.
Some tea?
Yeah.
Is this recovery tea? Be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
We can call it that, yeah.
So, man, the last time we talked, you were, situation was a little different, huh? Just coming back off a tour, and then we were going to try to hook up again before a tour, and then this happened, and that happened, and we just never circled back around to it again, but, yeah, no longer in Torch, man. What happened?
You know, I was in the band for almost 6 years, a little over 6 years, I think, or it would have been... Let me think now. Yeah, no, it would be, just about 6 years. And the long version is, got axed from the band, it was a surprise for sure, because I had no sort of idea that it was a possibility, which is maybe my own sort of sense of, just like pride sort of like blinding you to the fact that, that all bands are fragile. And, it comes down to a sort of, I can't, just for my own personal reasons, don't want to go into too many details, because I don't want to sound like I'm on here trashing anybody or trying to dig up dirt or make anybody feel nasty or ugly. But I mean, it's like, it is like the end of a relationship, like I was totally crushed, like not in a ultra dramatic way. I just didn't see it coming. So it's just like, it was the surprise factor coupled with like, oh fuck, well, I guess there's 6 years of my life, definitely not wasted. That would be the wrong way to put it. I mean, I'm forever grateful and totally still feel, lucky is not the right word, because all of us worked hard to get to that position. No matter who you are, if you get to that point, it's not just, I've been touring in bands since 2000 or 2001. So it's like you put in enough time. It's not just luck. It's a lot of hard work too. But yeah, was able to do and see so many cool things with that band. And still the overwhelming feeling is positive memories. It just sort of, like a lot of bands, whether it's a total breakup or somebody quitting or somebody getting axed, you usually chalk it up to sort of communication breakdown, maybe personality differences, just sort of feelings of like, hey, I don't think we're all on the same page. It's different now, things sort of start to piece together in my head. Like looking back on it, I'm like, oh, I guess maybe I could have or maybe should have seen this coming. It would be different if, say, like, on tour, there was somebody in the band, let's say it was me or anybody, who was like a total monster, like we were getting in fights, or somebody's got like a heroin problem, somebody's just like not, people are laughing at you because, there's the one guy on, like, you're this intense metal band and there's a dude on stage who's playing like a fucking 8-string, Schecter, sorry, Schecter, fashion wise, I'm writing like Korn riffs, or something. And those dudes are just like, hey man, like, I don't think you get what we're trying to do here. There was really never anything like that, at least not that I was made aware of. Really? It was just sort of like, it was just sort of out of the blue. This isn't working. Goodbye. And it wasn't mean or nasty that way. And like I said, I wish those guys the best. Neither here nor there, there's really no need for us to communicate. So I can't be like, oh, I don't hear from them. Well, why, I still considered them, I thought we were all like pretty tight friends, like not like best buds, but, sometimes, you can wish that people would have acted a certain way or communicated in a certain way, and it just, life doesn't work that way. People are going to do what they're going to do, and you don't always get the perfect scenario, and I think all things considered, as much as it was a surprise, it was still like, well, it wasn't like I got sent home on a plane at the, in the middle of a tour. But yeah, I mean, and it's a wild position. I mean, it fucked. I didn't leave my room for fucking 2 days. It fucked me up. I was like, you start to question everything. You're like, holy shit, man. Like all three of these dudes, not to get too personal, but it's like, I never got, it's a sort of like, not betrayal, but it's like, not one of these dudes could have said anything at any point. what a waste of their time, so the frustrating that angle. But again, I've been in those situations where you find it sort of hard to communicate, and it's hard. And sometimes it's sort of death by a thousand cuts kind of thing, where it's just like, and it's also unique to the situation of that band, where like I was their third guitar player. So it's like,
that's true.
You know, so it's like whenever there's a band with a situation where you have like the four founding members, something goes wrong. You really will. I mean, it's happened to bands I've been in the past. Like, you really struggle trying to sort of like Frankenstein on like a new body part.
Mm-hmm.
Like it never ever really works. And you look at historically any huge band, you know, like huge bands, you know, like it's always the same case. There'll like be sort of it. Yeah, there will always be like a level of like sort of discomfort and sort of tension there, and mm-hmm. that's just totally normal. It's just how people are and it's how groups function, like especially really passionate creative people. And so like it's, you know, that, you know, reflecting back on it, you know, I probably could have and should have been more actively aware of my position in that context, you know, that's like, hey, you know, being, you know, in the future, it'd be like, you know, in the event I find myself in that situation again, be more sort of proactive about getting people to open up and communicate. And how do you think I'm doing? Or is everything cool? You know, because there was a lot of stuff that was just hugely misunderstood and misinterpreted, to be honest. When it just, and then it's like, well, I guess it's too late now.
Actions from you that were misinterpreted by them.
Yeah, or things said, okay. You know, like years ago, where it's like, dude, I completely understand how that would sound. That is a gross misunderstanding of my entire MO. You know, like, I wish somebody would have said something, you know, and it's like, you didn't have to, like, harbor, like, a lot of grudges, you know, like, there's, you know, and again, it's like, you wish people would communicate a certain way, and you don't always get what you want, you know, and it's not being them, anybody being right or wrong, it's just the nature of people getting together and doing stuff together, and
yeah,
not wanting to hurt feelings, not wanting to step on toes, not wanting confrontation, not wanting to have discomfort, you know, and it's like, well, this sucks, and this is hard, and, you know, and I've been that guy in bands before, you know, where it's hard to say something and like it's hard to bring up, or you have to, you know, I mean, fuck, Riddle of Steel had five drummers, like,
yeah.
And it was never like, you're fired. And that wasn't like, it wasn't the situation with me, you know, it wasn't like, hey, asshole, get out.
Right.
It wasn't that at all. Like, it was as peaceful as that. You know, as surprising as it was as peaceful as you can possibly hope it to be, you know, because I'm not, you know, I mean, like anybody on earth, you take me out take somebody out on tour with the same group of people and you're with them 24 hours a day smelling their own farts and yeah. You know, getting so annoyed, you know, like, you know, what's the... familiarity breeds contempt kind of thing where absolutely. You're like, you're around somebody. So, I mean, you can't help it. I know, you know, like if I'm getting annoyed with them, they're equally getting annoyed with me, mm-hmm. but that's just the nature of the business. Like there's no way around that. Like you have to go into your own sort of safe place and chill.
I hate to draw a cheesy comparison, but it's very much like family. It's easier for me to,
oh yeah.
It's easier for me to cock off to my wife and kids more than anybody because I'm exposed to them all the time. It's
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You got to catch yourself right. Like, oh, they're around me too. I'm a dick.
Right.
God, you know?
Right. And the risk there. Yeah. Like if you're not really communicating, you can start to interpret things in a negative way,
uh-huh.
especially if you're feeling frustrated about a certain thing. And then all of a sudden, so much time has gone by, you start to resent the fact that you're feeling frustrated. And it starts to create this, you know, this sort of contentious sort of area, you right. know, that like if it isn't handled early on, you know, it's like with any band, forget that it's Torch, with any band, you can be like, well, fuck it. We were a band before this guy. You know what? It's going to be so much, you know, we're going to have this feeling of relief.
Yeah.
When what we perceive as this problem is out of the picture and we can go back to this again. And the bummer part is I hope their fourth guitar player works out. You know what I mean? Like it's at a certain point, because I, like I said, I'm equally as guilty of doing this. Like the problem eventually becomes not the player or the personality. It's the ability of the band to communicate like adults. You know, and really hash shit out like in an honest way, including me. Yeah, like, you know, so it's and if it's not going to happen, I mean, it will be a constant problem. Like it's part, you know, one of the chores of that's not fun about being in a band, you know, but like at the same time, bands I've been in the past, like when you do get that shit off your chest, even if you think it's minimal and you think somebody's going to like blow up at you, when you get it out, you air out all the things you think are sort of like might seem inconsequential. You definitely have, there's a feeling of relief, and there's a feeling, you know, the band, that's when bands really grow and sort of solidify and really become like as angry as you might get with somebody, you're still going to stand up for them.
Right.
You know, like you're still going to defend them and you're still proud of the things you're doing. That was sort of my feeling where we were at. But, you know, like I said, all in all, don't regret a moment of time spent with those dudes, you know, was able to be on, you know, and participate, you know, one of four band members, you know, all co-equal writers. And, you know, to the, not that money matters, but so far the two most commercially successful albums of their career. I want to say I spent the longest amount of time in the band of any of the guitar players they've had, I think. Yeah, just by maybe a sliver. You know, so like, yeah, it's not about, that sounds like sort of territorial or something, but yeah, I mean.
Well, no, but you just said, I hope guitarist number four works out. Guitarist number three was around for 6 years. It isn't like you did one tour with him and was like, oh my God, that guy's an asshole. We got to get him out of the band. And
totally.
You know, like you were around for long enough that I would think, hey man, this investment might be worth repairing some things. And I mean, I really feel like I'm doing some Barbara Walters bullshit now, but I mean like, like seriously, you're at home, tra-la-la, spinning your watch, I'm the guitarist and torch, boom, phone call upside the head. You did not see it coming at all.
Right. Yeah. No, Jesus. Not a chance.
Man, that's, that's rough.
I mean, well, and like I said, looking back on it, like I could tell there were like tensions, you know, like, there would be stuff that I would just sort of do, and then you know, I realized, I'm like, I think somebody in this band might be really getting frustrated. You know, like, there would, but, you know, there was never, but never anything nasty, never anything anybody ever brought up. You know, and in the past, shoot, I can tell you, you know, straight up, like, you know, it would be, you know, if Steve and I got into a really intense argument or something before a show, and I, like, at least once where it was totally my fault, I was tired and being an impatient dick face, and I'm like, man, I think I ruined this dude's night. And when, you know, like felt awful, then owned up to it and was like, hey, dude, I want to let you know I feel like garbage because, you know, I was being a dick and I know I was being a dick and that's not how I want to act. Like, I owe you a huge apology. Like, I will never do that again. You know, like, are we cool? And you hash it out right there and you hug and you're like, all right, it's cool. Like, and you hope people believe you. But that wasn't some common experience in the band. It wasn't, you know, like, I have my own complaints, but that doesn't matter. You know, like, you know, everybody in any band has their own frustrations. You know, like, that doesn't mean that the machine is broken. You know, like, you cannot have a band without some level, not dysfunction, but there's going to be tension. There's going to be fights. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, hopefully not physical. I've never been in a physical band fight. Fuck that. I would quit anyways. But like, you know, there's going to be disagreements over the direction. There's going to be disagreements over fucking, you know, land wars over, you know, fucking 5 seconds of music. Like, it's just, if anybody gives a fuck and you're dealing with people who care about how the songs go in a genuine sense and they're not just being like egotistical assholes, that's just, you know, if you don't like it, then be a solo artist, be a painter. You know, like, if you're working within a group, like, you're going to have those problems, you know, and it's like, or not, you know, those struggles, I guess. Like, it's going to be a struggle. And to me, it's still worth it. Like, and if it's not a struggle, you're probably in a shitty band. Like,
right. Or like, or a one-man band with three live bags of meat.
Right, yeah, like Hired Guns or something. Right, and even then, like, the Hired Guns are going to be like, fuck this guy.
Exactly. That's like, why there's new Hired Guns every leg of every tour.
All right, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, you're doing that kind of work. Yeah, that's even more risky. But,
right.
But like I said, you know, ultimately, it's, I was able to do and see and participate in so many things that I never would have been able to do. I absolutely am guilty of taking all of that for granted, without a doubt. You know, like, did not, you know, really, I mean, in a sense, I was always, I'm sort of contradicting myself here, but I always felt totally excited to be doing what we were doing. You know, like, I hate to put it this way, but like just from my perspective, the best thing that could have happened to me was playing in Riddle of Steel for almost 10 years and really fucking suffering. Like, we worked hard for 10 fucking years. I think we were over in Europe our second time, I think right when Torch's first record came out.
Okay.
You know, so we had already been doing a lot. And, and like 99% of it was floor crashing, playing to, you know, like 15 people a night. At the end of our career, we were averaging about $150 in merch and $80 from the door. You know, so it's like, and to us, we were like, sick. Like, we can keep doing this.
Right.
We were like we fought long and hard to get to that point.
Right.
And then we saw diminishing returns on all fronts, you know, and then we sort of called it a day. So it's like, to me, to be in the position where I was, you know, I was in Torch, you know, not just musically, but in an economic sense where it's like, oh my God, like I can really just work maybe a part-time job when I'm home and I'm not making huge money, you know, barely, you know, you're making some, but it's, mm-hmm. it to me, it was fucking amazing. You know, we're in fucking New Zealand, we're in Australia, we're in Greece,
yeah.
we're in Eastern Europe, we're in Northern Europe, we're in Southern Europe, we're fucking in Scotland on vacation, you know, like, it's really incredible. To the traveling, the meeting of people, and, it was something it's the thing that I've been wanting to do my whole fucking life, so that I was able to do it for that long, and that easily, you know, is something I will always, you know, think, look upon fondly, if you will. I mean, I think it's amazing. So the fact that it blew up sort of in my face doesn't really change the way I feel about it overall, you know, like.
That's good. That's healthy, honestly. That's like, I mean, I know there's more to the story in your head that you don't need to drag out in front of people and everything, but overall you're walking away like proud of what you did and everything. That's good.
I mean, it wouldn't serve, to give in to just like petty bullshit,
yeah,
isn't necessary, and that wasn't the way I was treated necessarily,
right.
You know. So it's like I don't really have any interest in that. I think it's sort of juvenile.
That's
like
exactly what clickbait and Twitter wants.
Right. I don't have any fucking interest. And like, who's gonna give a fuck? Like, it's not like
I'm gonna give a fuck. That's why I call.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't, you know, there are a small amount of people, but it's not like all of a sudden it's going to be front page on Pitchfork, you know, unless
right.
I said some really nasty shit that wasn't true
right,
just
right,
to
right.
fucking get a rise. And then what do I get, you know, the story would get 8 minutes of attention online and then that's the end of it.
And then it'll be down,
and for,
it'll
and
be down
what?
The feed
yeah,
like, and buried, right.
Right.
Okay. Question. Were you guys in the process of writing?
Yeah, which I wish we had been able to do more.
Do you think that had something to do with it? I mean, like, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, like, Torch has their thing. They have that whole, like, fuzz pop metal thing
yeah.
going. And they've,
yeah.
and they've, you guys have perfected it. I think Torch is doing a fantastic job at it. I think you fine-tuned it and kind of threw some Riddle of Steel finger picking stuff into the crock pot and took Torch to that next level. Like you said, commercial success with the two latest albums with Harmonicraft and Restarter, I kind of felt like y'all were moving in the right direction. Do you think that the writing or anything that you were bringing into it had something to do with them going, yeah, this isn't...
Maybe.
Really?
I mean, I have no
but
idea.
How?
They didn't bring that up. It's probably me just being paranoid because I'm always like the most critical of my stuff.
Okay.
I mean, anybody who gives a fuck is going to... You're always the most critical of your shit. But like...
Yeah.
Just in the infinite realm of possibility, that could have been an issue. You know, it could have been the fucking shoes I was wearing. Who knows? And I mean, I was given a basic sort of feeling of, you know, not on the same page kind of vibe. With songwriting, it was never like an issue that was brought up. I mean, I think if I with any of us, if it was like Steve had a bunch of riffs or I had a bunch of riffs or John had a bunch of riffs, it was really positive in that aspect to where like, nobody would take it personally if people didn't like what you brought to the table. You just move on. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, well, I got some other ideas. Or, you know, like, if you don't like any of my ideas right now, I'll go back home and start working again, you know. Or I still favor just getting into a room and hashing it out, like not necessarily coming with a bunch of completed sort of moments, because I think it's sort of, it can be sort of frustrating to, I don't know, to yourself, to your bandmates. I was just talking about this with my friend, because, you know, people are like, oh, well, here's my song I wrote. And the, your other bandmates can go like, oh, this part's really cool. This part's really cool. Not so into this part here. And you can be like, either go like, oh, okay, well, let's change it so everybody's happy. Or you can be the guy like, well, fuck you. That's the way I wrote it.
Right.
And so I guess we just won't do it. And you can be like, well, geez, dude. And it was never like that in the band. It was always like, you know, brutal honesty in the best way, like a really productive sort of honesty when writing, which I really loved. I thought it was awesome. Like, it really, you cut through a lot of bullshit quickly. You're not like humoring. You humor, you know, like, oh, fuck, we'll try it this way. But if you don't like it, you just like, man, yeah, I'm not vibing on this at all.
Sure.
And people were like, all right, we'll move on. You know, like,
right.
So yeah, it was always honest and open. And I think, you know, we had the last jam session, I think in Gainesville. And it was the last one. I think that was the last one. God, was it that long ago?
You're on your own. I don't know.
Fuck. Well, one of them, yeah. Like, the one, that, it was like, you know, like, you sort of take it personally. This, now I'm like, it's where, like, Ken McRae from Tilts had just died. I'd been gotten back from St. Louis for his memorial service. And then the next day, I'm in fucking Gainesville, just totally bummed.
Yeah.
And then you sort of catch attitude. Like, it seems like nobody wants to be here. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to fucking not burst into tears in front of my friends.
Sure.
You know, like, you got to give me a moment. Like, right. Sorry if I seem a little frazzled. Like, my one of my longtime best friends, an old bandmate, just died. Like,
yeah.
And nobody was being nasty, and that's not fair to put that on them. Like, they're being shitty, you know. Like,
I understand.
But, you know, there a lot of times in any band, you know, like, people knee-jerk sort of judgment of a situation, like, get frustrated. Like, well, nobody wants to be here. I'm like, dude, everybody's got their own shit on their mind. Like, so, you know, again, just learning to roll with punches and be like, well, fuck it. Like, you know, it seems like everybody's not vibing right now. Let's just go out and get beers. You know, like, it's sort of.
Exactly. Right.
You know, or whatever. Or, like, let's just call it
a night. I was just driving at, like, you didn't show up with, like, that crazy Spinal Tap jazz odyssey for the next Torch album where they were like, what the? No, get out of here. Like, obviously, I felt like Torch was like, wow, this Andrew Elsner element is kind of adding to the Torch thing. This is working out.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. And
well, honestly, I mean, I don't, like, mean I think, that as ass kissy, but I mean, like, you can hear it, dude.
No,
you can hear
it. Well, and it's interesting too, because I'm sure we talked about this before. A lot of times it isn't like, there's a lot of stuff people are like, oh, this is totally Andrew Elsner's fucking guitar part. I'm like, no, that's actually Steve. And people are like, oh, this is totally like a Steve riff. I'm like, no, that's mine. Right. And people are like, oh, that's interesting. Because it's like, you know, when you're excited about the songs, and Steve, you know, he wasn't like a huge Riddle of Steel fan, but he saw us a couple of times, mm-hmm. I think in Tampa, and was like, he wasn't like, oh, I fucking love this. But he liked, I think, some aspects of my playing in a way. So, like, it's the kind of thing where, like, he might sort of write a part that he thinks I'm going to be stoked on, and I'm sort of subconsciously or subconsciously writing parts that I think might make them happy too, you know, that I also like. So it's like you're sort of like bouncing ideas off each other and like exploring other areas of guitar playing that you might not normally do, but you're sort of inspired by the other people in your band to sort of do, you know, something a little different.
Right.
But no. Yeah, I'm way off on multiple tangents, but yeah, to answer your question, no, I really don't think that was like a thing.
Okay. Well, then nothing else needs to be said publicly then. I mean, if it was like a logistical musical thing, I think that would be kind of a curious thing to explore, but I mean, the rest of it's between them and you and whatever, it is what it is, but.
Yeah. I mean, it ended is, as much of a bummer as it was, you know, it ended as if you could call it a positive ending, as positive as that thing could, as that kind of a thing could go down.
I should have, this is how awesome of a podcast researcher I am. The dude from Wrong that was playing with them when I saw them, The guy that's filling in, what is his name?
Yeah, Eric. Eric.
Eric. Is he now a permanent member of Torch?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. He's a great fucking guy.
He's a killer
songwriter.
Killer musician. I mean,
he plays everything. He was in Kylesa. He's a sweet guy. And he has moonlighted in Torch before.
Played drums before,
On drums. Mm-hmm. He plays in Wrong with our old sound guy, Ryan. He plays in Shitstorm with John and Rick.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like the dude is intimately involved with those guys on multiple levels. So it only makes sense, you know. So it's like, cool, you know, dude, have at it. I think like if that dude could get in there and they could get stoked again, whatever they felt was sort of, you know, spiritual blockage in the band, you know, the tall white dude from, you know, the Midwest, like they get, you know, another fucking Miami bro in there and maybe it's more their speed, you know, like, and that would be awesome. I mean, I joined the band as a fan and like, you know, be lying if I say it. I wouldn't be jealous if the new record came out and it was awesome, but like I'd still listen to it. I'd be stoked.
Of course. Right. I understand. But I hope that the next Torch album is absolutely Slaughterhouse amazing. At the same time, it's not the same, man. It probably has a lot to do with the fact that you were nice enough to come on the show, and we've kind of been talking and friends for like pushing 3 years now and everything.
Sure.
But damn it anyway, man. You know, like, whatever. It is what it is.
Right.
Moving
yeah,
on.
Yeah. No, I get all that, man. Yeah, there's like different loyalties. Yeah, friends and family will be like, that's fucked up. I'm never listening to them again. That's bullshit. I'm like, well, you know, it's not like I'm not out trying to trash these dudes, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm
in a weird position of that's fucked up. I'm totally going to listen to Torch again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, you can be like, whoa, that's a bummer.
But, yeah. Oh, man.
Bands are notoriously fragile, and that's just the way shit goes. I'm like, well, fuck. Didn't think it was going to happen to me. It did. Oops.
How deep you reopened any of those cuts, but thanks for doing that for me. I appreciate that because
it helps to talk about it.
You haven't really talked about it to anybody, and I'm not looking for that bullshit news exclusive or whatever. But I just genuinely wanted to know, and you said it was cool. It was cool to air.
Yeah, and nobody else has asked. You know what I mean? So it's not like some like.
Well,
and I don't mean to put you down, like me, like nobody gives a shit, bro. Like
no, it's fine.
Yeah, nobody, you know, nobody's beating down my door to get the scoop.
Is it cool to talk about Ken?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, all right. Since we talked last, because of you, the first time that I ever saw you guys, you guys did that little run with Hot Water Music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time I ever saw you. I was in the Harmonicraft, and I saw your crazy-ass lightning bolt guitar strap, and it said Tilts on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what the hell's Tilts? I don't know what that is. So I did some research on it and fell in love with your other band. So that's Torch, Riddle of Steel, Tilts. Jeez, dude, you know? And I'm bought in. And
sweet.
I went and looked into it and everything, and you know, Ken McRae was one of one of the drummers from, he touched Riddle of Steel for a while. He was one of your five drummers, and he was in Tilts. And since we talked last, unfortunately, we lost Ken to cancer. And you said the next day you're in Gainesville, like you know, pushing around some Torch songs and just totally like trying to find the vibe and everything. But
right.
We don't need to talk about it. The man died of cancer. There's nothing else to discuss. I just wanted to offer condolences because I know, man, my small little circle here with the podcast and everything. I think I introduced some people to Tilts. I know Tilts sold a couple albums to some people that I know.
And, absolutely.
Man, we were all super sad for you. And
oh
Ken
yeah,
and his family.
I mean it was. I mean I met him when I was, I think, like 19.
Oh man.
And he had just gotten out of the Navy. Yeah, he was like 23 at the time, and he had just gotten out of the Navy, and we were like an old band, like Sean, the bass player from Tilts, and our other drummer, Matt Cheney, who's still a really old, great friend of mine, uh-huh. who was, you know, now was in school to be a dentist and is now a dentist. Yeah, Ken came in to, you know, we were jamming with different drummers, and Ken came in and just absolutely slayed it.
Yeah.
And was yes, like right did. Up our alley. Like he was like that awesome combination of like John Bonham meets Alex Van Halen.
Right
meets,
on.
Like, Tommy Lee perfect. Meets Tommy Lee and yep. meets Peter Criss, you know, like, uh-huh. but you know, not, which would, if you'd never seen him play, would make him sound like this showy drummer, which he's totally not. Right. Like he was always like the most humble dude in a cool way live. He was, you know, like didn't want to be the guy up there like showboating. And trying, you know, the drummers who, or any kind of musician who like snow people with a bunch of flash, but actually suck at keeping time. Really, like, he had a much more musical, intuitive sense of drumming than, I mean, really than almost any drummer I've ever played with.
Mm.
And it would be frustrating touring around the world and you see these bands doing really well. And then you're like, man, it, like I'm always like, drummers are always my favorite. Like I love the sound, I love the drums in general, like probably more than guitar, to be honest. But like, so I was paying attention to drummers. And just like, always like, you know, four beers deep on tour, like in fucking Germany or something. And I'm like, what time is it in St. Louis? I'm texting Ken right now and take a video of a band, which sounds like a shitty thing to do. I'm like, look at this, man. Look at this whack-ass band with this shit drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And look how much, look at the people, look at the crowd that's here. You know, it isn't just about, like, technical skill. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, it's like his level of dedication and his power and his musical understanding and like, his unique, it's like, the ease of writing with that dude is just, like, nothing. Is fucking incredible. I'm like, dude, you deserve to be out here. Like, quit your goddamn job and, you know, like, get out here. Like, you deserve to be up here. Like, you're the person I know who deserves this. You know, like, you've worked so hard to get there. You know, now fucking get up on stage and fucking do it. And so it'd be like, you know, just not in a shit way and not in a super serious way, but just, like, frustrated with musicians in my life who I was always sort of a huge fan of.
So let me ask you, go ahead. You drunk text him from Germany saying stuff like that, and he gets this text at 3 o'clock in the morning. I picture Ken being the type of guy to respond with like, "Oh shucks," like kind of a low key, like,
"Oh dude, yeah, yeah, absolutely." It would always be like, "Oh man, I appreciate that, man. Yep, fuck, man. Well, when you get home, let's fucking jam, dude."
Right.
And that was, you know, like in a circular way, or I can't put words together tonight, but
it's okay.
With Tilts, when I joined Torch, I didn't bother me at all. I'm totally shameless about, yeah, I'm also in this other band, because I was so proud of my other players and my band, like my friends. Like, I'm like, the songs we created, I'm like, cool. If I, you know, I don't give a fuck. I will totally use this position as, you know, a way to get attention to this other project. You know, like, I was never shitty about it. It was never like low class or sort of tacky, you know, but like, I mean, if I had never have done that, there's, you know, a lot of people would never, if I'd never been in Torch, you know, there were even less people would know about Tilts because we really couldn't do a whole lot. I mean, there was some sort of frustrations in that band where it's like, oh, I wish we could do more. But really, it's like, if your bandmates can get 2 weeks of vacation a year and they have wives too, to, you know, to like cool, so your wives are all going to be cool with us taking all 2 weeks and using that all for a tour? Like, I don't think so, bro. So it's right. Like there was only so much we could do anyways. Sure. So if I could sort of get the word out in another way, I was going to do it, you know, like and talk about it at any opportunity, you know, like, because I was proud. I mean, I'm still proud of that stuff. Like,
Tilt sounds and, like exactly what it is. It sounds to me like Riddle of Steel were three guys that were trying to write music to stay on the road and earn $150 worth of birth so they could buy Taco Bell. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Tilts sounds like Riddle of Steel 10 years later. That's like, I'm a dentist now. I don't care anymore. I just want to rock, you know?
Right, right.
And the vibe, like, that Tilt record, I don't have it in front of me. Quattro.
The second one?
Quattro Hombres?
Yeah, Quattro Hombres. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that is the funnest. That's like smile ear-to-ear album that totally reminds me of, like, it's, I don't know if,
Well, no, that's the point.
It's like Van Halen indie rock. I don't know what else to call it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like, and all that shit was done on purpose. Be like, so you guys kind of like Van Halen, right? I think I've said this before. It's like, yeah, like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, like, don't be an asshole. Of course we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like, you're the idiot for having to point it out.
Andrew, yes, I question the man that says he's not into Van Halen, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, dude, it is right out there in the open. Yes, no, you have not discovered anything. Yeah, like, we wanted to do, you know, more of a party rock vibe. Totally. And like more of a, which is not, that's not, you know, definitely not reinventing the wheel. It was just like satisfying ourselves.
Right.
And tired of playing, you know, like, as much as I loved a lot of the Riddle of Steel stuff, sort of tired of playing for crowds.
Yeah.
You know, like, it 20 dudes with their arms folded staring at you.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, fuck, man, this shit gets old real fast. Like, I want, you know, like, this isn't the stuff I grew up loving. Like, you know, in a way it was, but, like, you know, eventually it just wasn't doing it for me. You know, and like, yeah, with those guys, because we were such close friends growing up, and, you know, with Ken as the drummer, it, like, putting songs together, it would be, I mean, sometimes two and three, like, almost completed songs in an evening, just shitting them out. And, you know, they're not complex songs, so it makes it easy. You know, when you just go with it and you're having a cool time, and you trust in each other's ability to sort of structure some interesting stuff, and you go back and refine it or whatever, but, like,
right. Yeah,
it was a blast writing with those dudes.
Yeah, dude, the sleepover is like this repetitious thing that is, you didn't reinvent anything there. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's killer. It's like 7 minutes long and you just get lost.
Yeah.
You just kind of go cross-eyed and start to roll off the road a little with it. Like, whoa.
Yeah, we get a little lost in the sauce at the end.
Uh-huh. So can I ask, what's the status of Tilt since Ken passed away?
It's basically like permanently shelved. You know, it's okay. Sort of like Andy White is now playing guitar in a band called Hell Knight. He and the bass player Eric Eister from Shame Club, they're both in Shame Club together, and Ken was in that band too prior to Tilt. And singer Brian Farrell, I think is his name, from Shadows Fall.
Oh wow!
Is the singer for this band. He lives in St. Louis now.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Okay.
And so they have a new record out called Human Shelves. It's fucking raging. With any good band, the
what's
record
the name
sounds
of this
killer.
Band?
Hell Knight.
I'm looking it up. Hell Knight. I didn't know this at all.
But it's pretty rad. I don't want to oversell it. I do think it's totally a band I wish was that could get out and tour. You know, if I was ever in a position again to take a band out, I would love to take them out. I mean, they don't really need my help, but
right.
It's killer. You know, it's really aggressive, sort of. Like Andy will refer to them as like a punk rock band, which I completely disagree. It has punk rock elements, but they're not like if most people like punk band. They don't, you know, they'll have a much more particular sound. They're way heavier and more aggressive than most punk bands. You know, it's more of like a really aggressive sort of. I don't know, like an angrier. Maybe some sort of version of anger, somewhere in between, like way late stoner tendencies with like ramped up, like raging, sort of angry guitar parts.
Okay.
You know, and just crazy, you know, vocals coming at you, the Brian Farrell style, like full bore, like, not metalcore, but yeah, he's got that sound.
Okay.
It's fucking cool. And live, they fucking rage. The drummer, Adam Arsenault, killer dude, killer drummer. Yeah, it like seeing them live at their CD release show, I think this was right around Christmas time.
Okay.
It was gnarly. Like, I remember posting somewhere online. I'm like, man, it was just a while since I'd left a show, totally stoked, and got the CD and put it immediately in and started listening to it. You know, I'm like,
nice.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Like, when was the last time I did that? Like,
yeah, right.
Anyways, yeah, I don't want to oversell it. I just think it's fucking really rad.
To oversell anything. If it's available on the internet, I'm going to go find some of it. And
yeah, it totally is.
I'll play some on the show. Like
hell yeah.
Like right here.
Sweet.
Tilt is over, huh?
Yeah, we briefly talked with another drummer, Kendall Newby. He plays drums in, God, I'm such a dick. I just saw it there.
That's why I called, because you're an awful person.
I'm just having a total brain fart.
It's okay.
He plays in a blues band.
What's his name? I'll Google it for you, because we can edit all this out. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Kendall Newby, N-E-W-B-Y. He's a fucking fantastic drummer.
Kendall?
Really, really fucking rad dude. But
spell
it's like,
his
oh,
last name again? Newby?
Newby, yeah. N-E-W-B-Y.
Kendall Newby.
Yeah, drummer. It's like a slide blues, you know, harmonica, like a three-piece band.
Moreland and Arbuckle.
Moreland and Arbuckle, yeah. Yeah, but he used to play in a Wichita band called Black Gasoline. They were fucking straight up awesome. Sounded like Deep Purple or something.
Oh, cool.
And he's just like another one of those rare drummers who just has killer feel. You know, like his understanding. It's really hard to find drummers who understand swing feel. Like drummers who play linear as fuck are common.
Yeah.
Drummers who have like a vibe are harder to find.
I get that. That's why. That's why John Bonham's the greatest drummer of all time.
Yes, because it's much more rare.
He sounded linear and like he had swing, like at the same time. You can't do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gnarly. And so, yeah, Kendall has that same kind of vibe. And we've talked, and it's still a possibility. It's just sort of like now that, you know, Andy White, he is remarried. He's got a kid on the way.
Mm.
He's in Hell Knight. And so, yeah, that's the other guitar player in Tilts. And Sean is still Sean. Sean is the fucking king of the human beings. Like, he's the sweetest dude on earth.
Okay.
And a killer bass player. Yeah, like, same kind of thing, working full time, his two girls.
That's the dentist?
His wife. No, that is, the dentist is our friend who's now retired from playing music mostly.
Oh.
But, Sean, bass player, myself, Andy, and if we can get, we talked in the past about maybe getting Kendall to come over and jam with us, but it's sort of like, then we were like, well, you know, actually don't want to call this Tilts because it's be sort of weird to be the guy who's replacing the guy also named Ken who had blonde hair and blue eyes who died. It's like, you know what I mean? Like too heavy and too much pressure and too much like, oh, like it would be, you know, like it was sort of like fuck up the vibe and like, not like in an inconvenience kind of way. It's just like too much to do to somebody and just sort of odd. So we're like, you know, if we just did the exact same kind of shit, but the four of us called it something else, you know, but it would just be, you know, like, we'll call it a Tilt song title or something. But,
and it's a mutual respect thing, because I bet if Ken McRae were to give his blessing, I'm sure he would.
Yeah.
And Kendall would respect like, oh wow, I'm only here because of Ken. So the whole thing like is totally there, but you still tribute Ken McRae by not calling it Tilts. Like I totally understand.
It's just like moving on and doing something else. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So like it's, I don't know how or when we would pull that together. Like, because it's still a possibility, but it's just right now so back burnered. It's
sure.
You know, I mean, yeah, Kendall's busy with that band. We're getting there. Yeah. I got a couple, one thing for sure. Yeah.
Oh, I only knew about the one thing. I was gonna segue into like, okay, so let's talk about what you're doing now. I guess this seems like a good a time as any. You started jamming with the guys from Day Old Man.
Yeah. So, two things. One, I'm moonlighting on bass with a band from here called Thousand Air, and the drag is the guys in the band are like refuse to have any online presence. There is no Bandcamp page. There is no Instagram. There is no Facebook. There's no email address. So, but it's
how do I buy their music?
There's nothing even out yet. There's a record that they recorded that I think is killer. It's like a really slow, like down tempo, super loud shoegaze kind of thing.
Okay.
Like soft vocal, you know, minor key. You know, few lyrics, not at all like in a droney, like ISIS kind of sense, like complete opposite of that, more like blown out, grungy, you know, for lack of a better, like, or, you know, old school, like, not fuzzed out rock, but like sort of crustier sort of bass tones and like, I don't know, I think it's really rad. It's mm-hmm. Like some really pretty moments. But it's cool. Yeah, so we're playing this Friday at 529, opening up for an old Atlanta band called All the Saints, who are fucking awesome. I think they're totally fucking, like, Dark Horse. I mean, they're popular enough. It's going to be, they're playing two nights, Friday and Saturday next weekend. And we're playing the Friday night gig. And so looking forward to that. After that, it's hard to say just because there's been some lineup changes in that band. That's why I'm filling in on bass. So like, yeah, we'll have that. Yeah. I mean, if there's more to do after the show, I'd be down, but it seems like they're sort of figuring out what they want to be doing in the future. But beyond that, jamming, actually hung out with him last night. We're going to be getting together this week, start writing some more. But yeah, Derek Schultz and Bobby Theberge from Day Old Man, who I fucking love. Yes, talking about rhythm sections who have like a telepathic sort of understanding. Like anytime we get together, it's just like, just a fucking shower of ideas. Okay. Like, I think it's amazing. And maybe they're used to it because they've been playing for a long time and they just sort of second nature to them. To me, it was like a refreshing sort of situation to be in where it's just like idea after idea after idea after idea after idea. And maybe, you know, after the fact, you're not 100% stoked on every single moment, but it was just like, oh, hell yeah, like everything's on the table. You know, everything's a possibility. And, yeah, and like I do like the recorded stuff that Day Old Man has out and available. I think visually and sonically, it's a band that you have to see live. Like, they do. Yeah, they. It's just more in. You know, they put in a lot of extra sort of detail into the live show for a two-piece band. Mm-hmm. And they're such like really, really chill, really, really fucking funny, creative dudes. Like more sort of artistic mind. just like the sweetest guys, like super gentle and ferocious players. Yeah, Bobby Theberge, I think, is hands down one of the best drummers in the Southeast. Like, he's a fucking monster. Like, and he's super humble about it. He's been playing drums for a long time. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's one of those bands, like, Torch took them out on a little 10-day trip and, like, yeah, it was us with Jeff Carey and Day Old Man. And yeah, I mean, night after night, they would play, and our crowd would just sort of stunned. They're like, "Who are you? Like, where did you come? Where did you come from?" Like, you sort of like shake, you know, like, "Who shook you out of the bushes, dude?" Like, I've never heard of, you know, like where, like, and you know, they would just sort of like hold up for a couple of years, just writing stuff on at their own pace, you know, and put out like an EP or two, and yeah, they've been super busy playing shows in and around Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Just played with Jucifer last weekend.
Okay.
Or yeah, at some point this past weekend.
Let's back up and clarify this now. You're jamming with the guys in Day Old Man. You didn't join Day Old Man.
Yeah, yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so when my situation changed, told them about it, and like immediately they were like, because we talked about, you know, sort of in the past, you know, about getting together, and they were like, "Dude, you want to fucking jam with us? Oh my God." I'm like, "Are you, dude, you're reading my mind," because I was going to sort of approach you guys with an idea anyways. And I hit him up like, you know, I want you guys in my perfect world, like my selfish fucking desires. I would want them to keep going on as Day Old Man. Like, no, like that's your thing. I love this band. And like, I don't want to intrude on this.
Sure.
And like, and also from the perspective of like, I don't want to join somebody else's band, you know, like, and try to, like I was talking about before, like you always run into different issues as opposed to when you start something brand new from the ground up, everybody's, you know, on equal footing. So I'm like, yeah, we'll just like the three of us, I'd love to sing and play guitar again. And the three of us would do something else along with this, you know?
So,
and they were like,
"So this is a thing?"
They're like, "Totally." Yeah. They're like, "Totally, totally down." And so yeah, we've gotten together a few times.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's been a fucking blast. Like I said, it's just like loud guitar, you know, just having a totally fucking awesome time, you know, playing stuff that, you know, will probably never make it into, you know, a set list, whatever, but like still enjoying just fucking around, you know, like, and
is
and,
it
and
a thing? Does it have a name?
Oh, we don't have a name yet. It's funny. We were hanging out last night for a while. Bit Brigade played at the Earl, which is awesome. They're like the video game band.
I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta look them up. They're pretty fucking intense.
What are they called?
Bit Brigade. Yeah, like they'll do they play old school Nintendo like video game songs on stage while they have a screen behind them, and somebody, I don't know if it's the same guy every time, like they'll work up a set. Like last night, a lot of it would like the first bit was Castlevania, like original, like Castlevania 1.
Oh my God.
And so when the guy playing the video game on stage on the big screen behind him presses start, they play the theme song as the, you know, they're playing.
Shut up.
It looks and sounds so fucking cool, dude, especially Castlevania, like done in like metal guitars. It's like it was designed to be played on electric guitar. It sounds fucking incredible, man. It's really cool.
Dude, isn't it funny how the bar has been raised? Like, you can't just roll out, like, good luck rolling out with just Andrew playing guitar and singing and a bass player and a drummer. These guys are syncing up with video games now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's incredible. Yeah, and it's really cool because, like, if the character dies, they play, like, the death music and have to start over, you know?
That's
like,
amazing.
Yeah, they'll start the song over.
That's funny. I just watched the dude play the demo of Super Mario Brothers on piano. In real time.
Sure.
Like he'd be playing the da 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 da, and then when Mario goes over and he jumps up and he punches that coin box.
Yeah.
He does a bring 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 on the two notes of the piano, and he's playing it live real time.
Yeah.
Like he totally it was awesome to watch. None of that needed to be said, but I'm with you.
Right, right. Yeah, it was totally fun. But yeah, like so yeah, you're just like a regular sort of Friday night out. Getting foolish and yeah, just still like, we gotta come up with a fucking name. What are we gonna call this? And I think give us another couple of jam sessions and getting, you know, like we've got a couple of like quasi finished sort of structures where it's like, yeah, stoked on this, but there's still so much more coming in, you know, like mentally, like anytime we get together, it's one of those things. It reminds me a lot of playing with Ken McRae for sure. Okay. Where it's like, I'm just, you know, like, I'm notoriously late, so I get there and they're already set up and it's no big deal. And
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Did I just brush over that?
You're notoriously late. You're kidding me.
not by like a huge amount, but let's say like cool, get there at 7. I'm the dude who shows up at like 7:20.
That's not
bad. So anyways, I get there and it, like the situation, like their sort of telepathic nature as players who've been playing together for a long time and really good buds. Like now they've rented a house together and, and I'll be, you know, plugging in my pedal board, getting stuff set up and I'll just like sort of left hand a guitar part or they'll just be like dicking around on something and like following each other's changes. Like Derek on bass will be like following his accents on the drum. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, what's that? Like, it's really awesome. That's a cool lick you have. What are you doing there? They're like, I don't know. We're just fucking around. I'm like, what? Like, that was like four complete parts. Like, what did you just do there?
Right.
Like that was totally all off the cuff.
It's like this.
What?
It's like this.
All right, do that again.
Synchronicity thing where it's like, it isn't like if one of them decide they have to leave, you don't replace Derek. Like that.
Right.
They're a
right.
thing. They're like a package deal almost.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so that's what I was in a totally selfish way, like wanting to jam with. I'm like, I want to jam with the two of you, because that's I believe with the two of those guys. Not that they couldn't do other things, and I would want them to if that's what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I think the magic that I hear is the two of those guys, okay. And it's like, my hope is to get something together by, you know, we'll get a name, we'll get some songs, print some shirts, all the usual shit. And maybe by like late spring have like, let's say like, cause I'm ready to play and it more important to me now to just for my own sort of sanity and our, and everybody's basic on the same page. You know, this sounds like I'd like, here's what I'm going to do with my new band. Like I recognize there's two other people who have their own plans as well, but hopefully, ideally we get some stuff together, you know, and it's not like, oh, we take 2 years to perfect 6 songs. Like to me, where I want to be, it's more important that just jump back into it as soon as possible.
I get
you know,
that.
Like not with something that sucks, because that would never be. That's to me, that's a given. Like if it works out that it's going to be that it sounds like shit, then we'll say no. But in the sense that, like out of like pride or paranoia or like it's got to be good, like ego, like you end up shooting yourself in the foot, like overworking and reworking stuff that, you know, splitting hairs and second guessing yourself into oblivion. And then you've got nothing, you know, it's more important to just, like, I want to get some stuff that is, you know, in my mind, I want it to be the same kind of stuff I've always wanted to do. I want it to be explosive. I want it to be fucking exciting. I want it to be fun. And technical enough to be interesting, but hooky enough to be memorable for people who aren't players. You know, like,
I love it.
Somewhere along those lines, you know, like, not really. And if somebody doesn't like it, don't care. You know, like,
yep.
You know, satisfy ourselves first, and it might end up being totally straight. It might end up being more complex than we imagined. Because, like, Day Old Man, there's moments. They have some long songs, but there's moments with, where they go nuts live, or it straight up sounds like Yes. I'm like, what in the world is happening here? And like the last time I saw them at the Earl, they opened up for a band called Cinemechanica, who I believe is from Athens. They're a killer fucking band.
Say it again?
Cinemechanica.
Yeah, like I'm going to spell that, right?
Well, so just cinema and then canica. Mm. Like a mechanic. Like C-I-N-E-M-A-C-H-A-N-I-C-A.
Sure. It's going to be one of those Google searches where it says, did you mean? And I'll click on that.
Yeah. yeah. But anyway, yeah, Day Old Man opened it for them. Yeah, same kind of vibe, though. There's just like the crowd there was like, who the fuck? Like, what? Who are these dudes?
Right.
And like, they get done, you know, they wear weird outfits on stage and they put glitter on and like fake jewels on their eyeballs and stuff, or, you know, above their eyebrows. And it looks intense. Like, and it is like kind of a vintage doom kind of vibe. But there's, and sort of a semi like black metal approach to vocals. But I think as the last year has progressed too, they've done different stuff vocally, where they're, you know, like a dual vocal kind of thing. And and just Bobby is a unique player, like really, really individual style killer, you know, for this guy who, you know, like, here's this skinny guy, you know, kind of like sinewy, like he rides his bike all the time, which he does, you know, like getting up there and like, he's got a lot of thunder and has like, you know, I've talked about with other people, like, just, you just hear him sound checking, like, oh man, he's totally got like the Bonham sort of tone and vibe, like that feel is totally there. Okay. People are like, oh, I totally agree. But he's got, yeah, like, I don't know, it's smarter than the average dude who does that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a really intelligent approach, and he's a fucking total gentleman. Those guys are like the sweetest guys. So it's just like, and everything, like, you know, like, we get together and it's like, what if we tried this? What if we did this? What if we did this? And everybody's like, sure, totally, dude.
Okay.
Totally. And I'm like, you know, like, oh, you guys like to go fishing and camping? They're like, totally. I'm like, fuck, what? Like, are we going to like camp while we tour? That would be so incredible. Ah, like, oh my God, dude.
So it's cheaper, like, we're
gonna
too.
I'm like, we're going to get a fucking van with a bike rack on it. And we're going to take our fishing rods and our camping gear, and like, we're just going to do day on, day off, and just camp across the entire United States, wake up, fish, drive to the show, play the show. They're like, oh my God, dude, it'd be so fucking amazing.
That does not sound bad at all.
Yeah, it's like a lot of things in common, like personality wise, you know what I mean? So it's,
right.
Yeah, and I don't literally think it would go down that way, but I would be absolutely into it if it did.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be rad to be the first band in the history of bands to be late for sound check because you're fishing?
Yeah, I mean, like, what is this? Awesome. Primus? Like, get out of here, dude. Yeah. Like,
yeah. That'd be awesome. Show's, yeah, show's mean, yeah, delayed because, yeah. Yeah, we were fishing. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we hit this pocket of walleye. It was fucking insane, dude. Really fucking chill dudes and crazy talented. And, you know, the only other thing, yeah, with Day Old Man, they get more of an expansive, exploratory approach to songwriting, where, like, I'm still a fan of, like, not we can't do that, but, like, do something more the same vibe but in a tighter package, you know, like,
you're rock
no
guy.
Song, not like a hard rule, like no songs over 4 minutes.
Sure, yeah, sure,
like,
sure.
It, like, I think I love working within that sort of format of, you know, between 3 and 4 minutes, you know, like,
I right around that. I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Yes, I prefer that shit or get off the pot kind of a vibe, you know?
Yeah. It's more interesting. It's like, you know, it's the age of low attention span. Yeah, I'm included right. in that, you know, so it's just like,
me too.
And so I think if you can get, this is going to sound super pretentious, but it means something to me. That was like a biography I have on Mozart of all people. Now if I can get totally in Spinal Tap mode, and it's not the most profound quote of all time, but he was like, oh, you need to write for the musical as well as the non-musical. But like, and you could ask, like, well, to do what? To make money, to be successful. I just think, like, if you're playing music in an entertainment sort of sense, like you're not just writing for yourself, you want to play shows and have a cool time.
Absolutely.
It's not about considering like, oh, well, we need to write what people are going to like. It's more like, I read that. I'm like, I completely agree. Like, that's what you ride the line between like musicianship and entertaining song that are,
sure,
you know, there's the you shouldn't feel embarrassed about it, you know. It's like, I did, you know, it's one thing to be in fucking Nickelback or Smash Mouth or something, you know, horrendous. It's like, but like when bands are like too cool for school, too scared to write a hook, I'm like, it's probably because you can't write a hook, you know, like,
dude, right on. Like, again, like these tech bands that are like doing loop-de-loops, and I always like, I go back and listen to my episodes to make sure that it's edited correctly and everything, and I make the sound, I go blah, 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 all the time because I'm making fun of like the noodle finger guitarists and stuff, and it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, okay, what are you going to do next time? Like, this was a double album of prog bullshit. This was one song that's 47 minutes long. Like, it's like you have to outdo yourself each time. It's like a magician. Mm-hmm. Like, I already held my breath underwater while being shot at. Like, what do you want me to do next? And I kind of feel like, nah, Queens of the Stone Age is still just not going to be on my ass. I'm fine with a card trick, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's just sort of like, you know, ooh, like embarrassment. Not a lot, you know, it's not that common, but amongst people who is like sort of embarrassing to be into an interesting melody or an interesting hook, because I think to do it well is actually extremely difficult. I talk about this all the fucking time. You know, it's like to do it well and to do something clever and lasting, that doesn't sound like some corny bullshit, is extremely fucking hard. Mm-hmm. I think that is a total talent. And, it's why, you know, I don't give a fuck if somebody doesn't like the Beatles. I'm not the hugest Beatles fan in the world, but them, or, you know, to like the way Eddie Van Halen's guitar parts, where he would cut up the same melody using different chord voicings, you know, for the first verse or the second verse, he's coming back playing the same notes in but different places on the neck to just sort of like mix it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, just doing clever things with the melody, keeping things flowing and interesting. Like, there's an art to it, you know, even when it's kind of in a dumb, you know, more sort of dumbed down, you know, populist sort of fashion.
But still doing it, within 8 bars in between a chorus and a pre-chorus to bring it back around and cramming that into a 3-minute and 8-second package. Mm-hmm. Is more complicated than people give it credit for. If you want to go see Eddie play a solo for a half an hour,
On the musical as well as non-musical tip, you know, look at fucking James Brown. Like, here's somebody who is immediately translatable to almost any fucking crowd on earth, you know, if you, still around, everybody, he looks cool as fuck when he's dancing. His music is funky as shit. Everybody gets down with it. They're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But also the musicianship in that band is terrifying.
Untouchable. Like,
just absolutely shred you to bits.
Yep.
And like, you know, and he was a strict motherfucking band leader. Like, so it's like, yeah, you're keeping true to your fucking roots as a player, and you're paying attention and you're busting your ass.
Yep.
But like, you're also doing something that's really special.
Yep.
And a lot of people can relate. And it's like more of a participatory thing than it is like a cool people's club. I hate that shit.
Yeah, the exclusivity and the whole like.
Yeah, like I don't care. It comes from an emotionally immature place. I think it just like it doesn't. It's not like, I don't think it's real. There is an art to that shit as well, and I'm not trying to call out anybody who plays something complicated. You know, it is garbage. But like, I don't know. It's just not what I want to do.
Love it. Man, you keep me posted on the day old man meets Andrew Elsner car collision.
And, I think it's going to be good, man.
Yeah,
we're getting together this week, start writing some more.
Oh, man, that's exciting. And you dropped a ton of names here to go check out.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you help me out with a Thousand Air recording, since you said they're not on the internet?
Dude, I would have to ask the guitar and the, well, I guess, one of the main dudes, if not the main dude in the band, my coworker at Acorn Amps, Andrew Wiggins. He used to play in a band called Hawks.
Okay.
From Atlanta, also a killer fucking band.
I think I've heard of Hawks.
Pretty much done. I think they're going to do like one more album and then maybe a last show or something. But yeah, they're gnarly. They're fucking great.
The dude from Hawks is in Thousand Air with you?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's him. Yeah, my buddy Tanner Pierce, my buddy Daniel. I forget the name of the band that Tanner used to be in. Daniel plays drums in a in like deeper circles. I'm like, are they a grindcore band? Called Rapturous Grief with Rob Sarabia, Torch's old sound guy, like a local grindcore band, Rapturous Grief. They're pretty fucking intense. But anyways, yeah, like dudes have been playing in band for a long time, playing other stuff. And I would have to run it by him first because he's very, very, like, he's got his vision in mind, like, no online presence. I don't want to have to fuck with that ever again. Like, okay. You come to a show, you buy the record. I'm not doing that. And so, like,
I don't even want you to record. I don't even want you to have to ask him. There's a band in the greater Atlanta area called Thousand There. If you get a chance to go see him, you'll probably see Andrew play on bass. We're leaving it right there. Let that dog lie where it's sleeping. That's fine.
There you go. Yeah.
Man, thanks. So I think you really kind of you talked about way more than I thought that you'd be willing to, and I really appreciate that.
That's usually how it goes with me. I usually talk way too fucking much.
Nah, man. No. That's what podcasting is for. Sweet. Thanks. I appreciate the time.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me on again, man.
Thanks, thanks Andrew Elsner, for coming back and joining the story again. That sounded so
cheesy. Hell yeah.
Ew, that sounded so gross. I don't like that at all. thanks for the next chapter.
Yeah, you're listening to the next chapter As the Story Grows, Chapter 3 with Andrew Joseph.
You sound like the male Elsner. Siri. Don't say that. Don't say it like that. Dude, thank you so much. Go take a shower. You stink.
Yeah, I know. I do. I smell like a hangover.
I'm back! Get up off of that thing and dance with you, you better. Get up off of that thing. You sing it now. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and try to release that pressure. Get up off of that thing and shake till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and shake till you sing it now. Get up off of that thing and shake till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and try to release that pressure. Get up off.
As the Story Grows is a part of Lavera Productions.
High five. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at As the Story Grows and visit the site at asthestorygrows.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss anything and subscribe to my YouTube page so you can see unedited interviews. Visit the Bandcamp link in the notes of this show for free cover songs, some free tunes, and merch. If you like what you heard and would like to help, there's a Patreon link on every episode, or you can look for the dollar sign on the website for one-time donations. If you can't afford to donate, that's totally okay. Tell a friend, retweet me, and give me a good rating on iTunes. Send your guest requests and any feedback for the show to asthestorygrows@gmail.com, and thank you so much for listening today.
Love you. Take care. Bye.